I'm going to talk to you about heavenly currency tonight. John, the title of my message is The Price of a Soul. I will be mentioning about the heavenly currency of God. I titled this, What the Price of a Soul. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here. Glad you came out. Good crowd for Wednesday night. Let's be praying now every day before our revival. Come with Dr. Bob Gray. And let's be praying for this coming Sundays. Saturday we'll be going out at 2 o'clock. We're going to be going to Shalersville. Did you know some of the folks that were visiting last week were from Shalersville? And it's amazing what God is doing. So, boy, praise God for the three that were baptized last week, and just exciting what the Lord's doing. And I wouldn't want to miss because I want to. I want to see what's going to happen Sunday. Amen. So much good things happening. So, let's look at one verse, Matthew 16:26. By the way, I was talking to Brother Mark, and he asked me during that revival, would you like the choir to sing every night? And I said, I would. I'd like the choir to sing Wednesday night and Saturday or and Thursday night. We probably wouldn't be able to pull it off in the morning because there won't be enough people. But Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm going to put out a bunch of letters. I think John Boyce sent, how many emails did you send out, John? Do you know? 15? Good. And I'm going to make up a letter, and we're going to be, we got the flyers done. I'm going to send out to a bunch of preachers. Dr. Bob Grace, if he's not the greatest preacher in America, which I think he is, he would be near the top. I personally, to me, he's the closest thing to Jack Howes. I love Jack Howes beyond measure. And I wrote to Dr. Gray just before I went to Naples. And I said, Dr. Howes was the Elijah. And the mantle's fallen on you now. You've got the ear of the preachers in America. And you're the Elisha. I believe he is. I believe he's Elijah. I think preachers will hear him. And we got to get preachers stirred up for the coming of Christ. And stirred up by preaching and winning people to Christ. And telling people that they can believe their Bible. Amen? And I believe with all my heart. He's the greatest preacher in our country today. He's a pulpiteer. How many of you ever heard Dr. Gray? For you that didn't, you're going to be in for a great treat. I put a picture of him. I ran a picture off and put it in a frame, and I put it out there where you can see what he looked like. He's not as handsome as me, but he's a good-looking fella. Alrighty. Let's look at this again. Let's look at Matthew 16:26. I'm excited about him coming. I really am. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a great question. What's the price of a soul? What's a soul worth? Heavenly Father, I pray you help me to be a blessing to the people tonight. This little Bible study, little truth that I want to get in their heart. Holy Spirit, go up and down each aisle and each pew. And Holy Ghost of God, I just pray that we can make a difference in their heart, in their life. May they meet someone tomorrow that they would care about that soul. That soul, that person is either going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Help me to be a blessing as we speak and teach and preach tonight. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The question was, what is a man's soul's worth? What would be the going price in man's economy for his eternal soul today? Might have been worth a little bit more a while back, but things are going, the way the world's going, I don't know, what would you give? The question is, what could a man give in exchange for his soul? Could he give money? Could he give treasures? Could he give lands and possessions? Could he give buildings? Could he give gold? Could he give silver? Could he give all the earthly possessions that he has? Or that could be given? Well, he could do it, but he still couldn't give enough. Because the answer is to that, verse 26, what shall you give in exchange for a soul? The man's soul is priceless. There's nothing you can give for a soul. You can't work enough. You can't buy enough. You can't do enough. For the soul of a man. So I'll say this. Mortal man's soul is unpurchasable. It's priceless. It's priceless. Man's soul is priceless. You can't put a price on it because it's worth beyond measure. In earthly terms, a man can't give what it determines the price for a soul. And I noted this. Man could never give enough to do enough, to bargain enough to purchase his eternal soul. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at four things I jotted down. How God values the soul of a man. Let's see what God paid for man's soul, and let's look at heaven's economy. Let's look at heaven's currency that was paid for man's soul. Heaven's currency for the soul of a man. You know, we were looking in man's terms. Man can't pay for a soul in man's terms, but heaven said there's a currency that we have that can pay for man's soul. I want you to look at four things with me tonight. Number one. And I wrote about five. It's going to be like a Bible study, real quick Bible study. The purchase price. Number one, the purchase price of man's soul. Well, we know the answer. The answer is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, real quickly with me, I want you to look at scriptures with me. Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 20. I'm going to read fast and keep going. In Acts 20, verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourself, and to feed, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased. What does he purchase the church with? His own blood. God purchased you and I, his church, with his own blood. That's the value of heaven's currency for a soul, the blood of Christ. Look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians, I'm putting them right in order so you can get them right in order. 1 Corinthians 6:9. 1 Corinthians 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You get it the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. Which you have of God. Who do you have it of? You have it of God. How many are with me in 1 Corinthians 6:19? And you are not your own. Why? For you are bought with a price. What price was that we just read? The blood of Jesus Christ. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, I belong to Christ. I'm God's property. If you've been born again, washed in the blood, you're God's property. I'm glad I'm a child of God, amen? And we belong to Jesus who purchased us with his own very own blood. I'm going to tell you right now, our soul was so important to God in heaven that the value of heaven's currency said it demanded Christ's blood, which was the most utmost thing you could ever have. Notice Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12 through 14. I'm trying to put them right in order for you. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats, calves, but by his own blood, talking about Jesus, Christ's own blood, he entered into once the holy place, having eternal redemption for us. Oh, man. What kind of redemption? Eternal. And he entered into a holy place. And what did he enter with? The blood. Eddie, that blood that Jesus took, shed on the cross of Calvary, look up here. That Betty, that blood, that very blood that he shed, it's in heaven right now. He literally took all that blood that he shed. Sean, it's in heaven right now in the mercy seat of God. It's that very blood that, don't listen to that guy over there in California, don't believe in the blood atonement, MacArthur. He's an idiot. I mean, that's the best I can say for him. He's just ignorant of the scripture. And so look at verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes, heifer, sprinkled unclean, sanctified to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot, hallelujah, the Lamb of God, without spot on Calvary cross for you and I. Can anyone say amen? To purge your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God. And for this cause, he's a mediator of the New Testament. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Look up here. God said, I demand for a soul the blood of my precious son. And Christ came down, born of a virgin, in Bethlehem's manger, and lived 33 years on this earth, and never sinned once, by the way. He was sinless. He's the only one that ever walked on this earth that never sinned. He's the only one that ever will walk on this earth that never sinned. He was the sinless Son of God. And there he hung on the cross and shed his blood. See, Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And see, when Jesus on the cross, he shed his blood, he gave his life for you and I. And all that blood that he shed, see, our blood dries up. His blood was from Emmanuel. Well, who's God? God's blood lives forever. Hello? It's not tainted, it's pure. And that eternal blood is still up there now, making atonement for every person that comes to Christ. I heard this gentleman got saved with Joshie not too long ago. Was it a week or so? Yeah. That blood, even though you can't see it, sir, that blood of Christ was applied to you. And when you stand before God now, see, you and I, everybody here is this lost sinner. We're all, what's your first name?
Richard.
Yeah, a good name, Rich. Yeah, I love that name. Your mama was smart. Your dad's, yeah, smart daddy. That Richard is a good name. I won't tell you what my name is, but I love that name, Richard. Man, I love that name, Richard. Well, you're rich for having that name, Richard. Here we are, Rich. Every man on this earth is like this. But when Jesus saved you, you got the Holy Spirit. Now that God's blood cleansed you, and now God sees us just as though we've never sinned. Yeah. See, Jesus was without sin. See, and so what the Bible says, he imputes. He gives to us freely his imputed righteousness. And so now when God looks, I still got stinky feet. I still do a lot of things bad. I'm just no sinner saved by grace. I'm sanctified dust. Hello? I was trying to think what the value of a human body is. What's it worth, about 6 cents? Or is it worth 10 cents? It's worth that much? We went up in this economy, huh? Wow. Well, we're not nothing worth to God, but with Christ, that's how God sees us. Just as though you never sinned. Isn't that great? And I'm so glad that I've got that. And see, the blood's up there in heaven right now. And we sing the song, are you washed in the blood? Yes, I am. In the soul cleansing. Because Jesus shed his blood. See, that was the price for man's soul. Was the blood of Christ. Can anyone say amen? Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. We're talking about the purchase price of a man's soul. And I said, number one, the purchase price of a man's soul was the blood of Christ. Revelation 1, 5. Now, that's a hard book to find. It's the last book in the Bible. You ought to be able to find two books real easy. Genesis, which is the first book, which means the book of beginnings. And Revelation, which is the last book. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5 and 6. From Jesus Christ, are you there with me? I'm in Revelation 1, 5. Who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that, what did he do? He loved us. Aren't you glad he loved us? Bible teaches in Romans that we were enemies and we're sinners and we hated God and we were without strength, yet he still loved us. Aren't you glad about that? He loved us and he washed us. Are you in Revelation 1:5? From our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
And that blood was shed on Calvary's cross. And then he took it up to heaven, and it's up there right now making intercession for you and I. Can anyone say amen, hallelujah? And he has made us kings and priests and God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion. That's why everything. He ought to get the glory for everything. You want to see one more in Revelation about his blood? Why don't you go to 5:9? We'll do one more while I'm at it. Didn't plan it, but I might as well do it. I like. You say, well, you Baptists have got a bloody religion. You better believe it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. It's all about the blood. 5:9 of Revelation, they sung a new song. By the way, when you get saved, you ought to be singing new songs. We ought to have a different heart. We ought to have a different mind. We ought to have a different life. They sung a new song, and I know this is talking about people in the Revelation time, but a truth can still be applied to us. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals to what thou was slain and has redeemed us to God. How did he redeem us? By thy what? By the blood. By the blood. He redeemed us by the blood. Out of every kindred and tongue. In other words, every person. The way you get redemption, no one's excluded. I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile. I don't care who you are. You all got to come by the blood. And has made us, just like that one verse said in verse 6 of Revelation 1. He's made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth, and we will with them for 1,000 years. First, we're going up in the rapture. We're going to spend 7 years up there while they're going through the worst time this earth has ever seen, which is called the tribulation, which I think we're really, really close. And then we're going to come back, and we'll spend 1,000 years here with them. Eddie, you might be the mayor of Wyndham. Wouldn't surprise me. Carl will probably be the mayor of Ravenna. Are you with me? Dale, I don't know where you're going to be mayor, but you'll be doing something. Amen? How many are still with me? And for 1,000 years, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And I can't preach about it all now, but at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan rises up, he puts him down, puts the great white throne judgment, and then God makes a new heaven, new earth, and then we go out and spend eternity with him. Isn't that exciting? And you know why? All because of Brother Davis? All because of his blood. Hallelujah. It's not one. It's not about a church, not about a person, not about a religion. It's all about the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and I. Don't ever leave the blood out. You got to have the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. Amen? Yeah. Then, so number one, the purchase price of a soul of a man was the blood of Christ. That's what it took. Number two, the precious possessions of that the souls are to God. Look at two quick scriptures with me. Look in the book of Psalms. Psalms is about the middle of your Bible. Precious possessions. See, we're precious to God. The reason God shed his blood for our souls, because our souls are precious to him. Eddie, your eternal soul was precious to God, even before the foundation of the world. Josh, it was determined that Christ would die for us before the world ever began. Isn't that exciting? To think, Betty, that God loved us that much before we even were here, before he made Adam and Eve, before he made the earth. That's pretty exciting when you think about it, before the foundation of the world. Hey, how did I miss? Wait a minute. Huh. Hold your hand. How many got Psalms? Psalms 49. How many got that? Hold it right there because we're going back to 1 Peter. How could I miss 1 Peter? Holy mackerel, Andy. Got so trying to hurry, and I hurried myself to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Purchase price. I went back to number one. One more verse. There's all kinds of them, but chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 18 and 19. We're talking about the purchase price it took for the redeem a soul. Remember Matthew said, what would a man give in exchange? What would be the price for the soul of a man? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, do all the silver and gold you want. Give them Fort Knox and still couldn't buy a soul.
Right.
From your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. But here's what we were redeemed by. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was barely foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested these last times for you. Man, I'm going to tell you, thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. Hallelujah for the blood.
Amen.
Now I'll go back to number two. Number one, you can't beat the first one. If I stop right now, the first one's worth it. The precious blood. That's heaven's. That's what heaven says it's worth. The blood of Christ. And then Number two, the precious possession, the soul for God. Look at Psalms chapter 49, verse 6 through 8. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitudes of their riches. Boy, they're not crying out too much now. Everybody, all the big boys are losing all they had. Where's all your security now? Hey, our security is not in the government. Our security is in Christ. None of them, look what verse 7 says. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. Go and get all the money you want. You can't redeem a soul for that. Nor give God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is what? Precious. And it ceases forever. I tell you right now, God says your soul is precious to me forever, forever. That's why he did it. Psalms 116 verse 5. Or 15. Let's read that real quickly. 116. Psalms. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Let me see verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because that eternal soul has been redeemed. That eternal soul has been purchased. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So, Brother Mark, the moment if I don't live to the rapture, the moment I take my last, that soul is going to go right to be with Christ. That and that's the preciousness, because that's what he gave his life for. That's what he shed his blood for my precious eternal soul. So that soul is the possession. There is precious to God. Amen. I think about that. Psalms 1:3 says all the precious thoughts God has towards us. Amen. Then James 5:7 says, don't turn to it. I'm going to quote. The husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth. What's the fruit of the earth? Souls that's been redeemed. That's, so I said to you, number one, the purchase price of an eternal soul was the blood of Christ. I said, number two, our souls are the precious possessions of God. I said, number three, God has a particular product from that. He purifies himself a peculiar people. Look at Titus. Look at Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. I know we're turning a lot. If you can't turn quick enough, just stay where you're at and hold on. I'll catch up to you. Or just stay somewhere. Maybe I'll hit real close to you. There it is. I found it. Hallelujah. I knew it was in there somewhere. Titus. Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Looking for the blessed hope. You know what my blessed hope is? Seeing Jesus come in the air. And glorious appearing at the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't care. Brother Bill, I don't care if people say he's not coming. Doesn't stop me at all. I know he's coming. Did you know it doesn't matter if either one of us believe it? He's coming no matter if we believe it or not. People are smart, though. They believe it. Notice the glorious appearing of God, our Savior, seven letters, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, Christ gave himself, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. God says, hey, you're something different now. You're special. You're different. You're peculiar. You're no longer darkness. You're children of light. Are you with me? While we're talking about peculiar people, look at 1 Peter 2:9. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. You're back there. Keep turning back a few books. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Who says you're not somebody? Amen. A holy nation, a peculiar people. God says, you that are saved, you that shed my blood for, who are so important, you that are precious to my sight, you're peculiar people that you should show forth the praises. Show forth praises. Show forth. Hey, the Bible said, let the redeemed say so. How many redeemed say so?
Amen.
Amen. And who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he has. Hallelujah. One more scripture there. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Go back a little bit. I know I'm running you back and forth, but it's good for you. Yeah, you learn the books too. Time we learn to look at our Bible. It's amazing. People watch TV for 5 hours, but they won't look at their Bible for 30 minutes. Philippians 2:15. 2:15. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Hey, can anyone say amen? I said, number one, the purchase price of eternal soul was the blood of Christ. I said, number two, that eternal soul is precious, is a precious possession to God. I said, number three, that eternal soul is in a particular product. It purifies for a peculiar people. And then number four, the last one, the partakers of that present from God, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm going to make it. I'm not too far off. Romans chapter 12. Acts Romans. 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. By the way, I believe Dr. Ballard is having his King James Bible class tomorrow at 7 p.m. We're back in school, so let's get back in with our Bibles too. Here's what the partakers. How many are partaker of that precious blood purchase? All right, here's our responsibility. I beseech you, I'm in 12:1 Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, salvation is all by mercy and grace. And because you've got that mercy and grace, you are to present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we sell out for God. He sold out for me. I had to sell out for him. He gave way more than I could ever give. He gave what I couldn't give. He redeemed me when I couldn't redeem myself. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, if you look at that, look at Romans 5. I didn't have this plan, and I'm going over, but that's all right. It's good. It goes right with what I'm saying. You know, he gave his life. He died for us. We ought to live for him. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, 7, and 8. I've taught you this a lot of times. How many see verse 6? For when we were, are you in Romans 5? All the people in Romans know what I'm going to do. Some of you do. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Circle the word without strength. Circle the word ungodly. Now look at Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Circle the word sinners. So in verse 6, we find that we're ungodly. In verse 6, we find we're without strength. In verse 8, Brother Mark, we find out we're sinners. If you look down in verse 9 and 10, much more than being now justified, but we shall be saved from his wrath. Look at verse 10. When we were enemies, there's four things there you were that God shows you right there in Romans. You were without strength. You were without strength. You were ungodly. You were sinners, and you were an enemy before you ever came to Christ. Are you with me? Now, look at verse 7 of Romans 5. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Right? But we weren't righteous. We were ungodly. We were enemies. We were sinners. We were without strength. We were like an old snake in the grass, according to Romans chapter 3. We were like an open sepulchre, smelly, rotten, diseased, filthy, slimy. With no value. Filthy. Isaiah said, all are righteous but filthy rags. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet prevention for a good man some would even dare to die. Well, if they're not going to die for a righteous man, they surely wouldn't die for a good man. But it don't matter, because there's none good, no, not one. If someone really knows their Bible and they start reading this, and so in verse 7 of Romans chapter 5, we stand before God without a Savior, without hope. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no good, none good. Well, if they won't die, if someone would scarcely die for a righteous, but there's none, and they surely wouldn't, I'm pretty eventually they would think about dying for a good person. We're none good, no, not one. Then who's going to die for us? In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, all man, humanity, stands before God, doomed, damned for hell, guilty. And then God sends down Romans 5, 8. He opens up the windows of heaven. But God, even though you were a sinner, but God, even though you were unjust, but God, even though you lost strength, but God, even though you were an enemy, but God, when no one else would, but not God, when no one else could, Christ died for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. If that don't make you want to shout, there's something wrong with you. Amen. That's the greatness of that scripture. Amen. That's what verse 7 makes 8 real great. See, that's the nugget that really comes down. We use it for soul winning, but 7 is the one that shows how important 8 is. Because you're destitute for hell forever in verse 7, without no hope, without a Savior, and no one to come and rescue you but God. Amen. Aren't you glad for the but gods in the Bible? I close with that Romans 12, 1, 2. Because it was but God for you and I who paid the price for the purchase of your soul with his blood, that your soul to him was because it was so precious, and because he wanted to make a peculiar people out of you and a particular people, it's only right that we who are partakers of his present, because salvation's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus died for us. And Jesus is not asking us to die for him. All he's asking us is to live for him. Amen. Let's read that and I'll close. Romans 12. Let's read it one more time together. I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, which is your reason. It's only reasonable that a saved person would want to serve, be faithful to God. Amen. And be not conformed to this world. You'll never serve if you're conformed, if you're loving the world. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Because when you do that, then you're going to give God a reasonable service. And then you'll die to yourself and you'll live to him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we had. And I just pray you'll bless these thoughts. God, I thank you for the redemption of Christ through the blood of Christ. That precious blood that's still powerful, still saving people, and it continually cleanses people from all their sin. Over 2,000 years ago, it was shed, and it's as powerful today as it was then. Wow. Oh, glory. Think about that, Lord. Wow. And it'll be powerful throughout all eternity. I pray for my people tonight that they would rejoice in the precious blood of Christ that was shed for them, knowing that it took heaven, that man's soul was so priceless that it took the priceless blood of the Son of God to redeem their fallen soul. It's going to live forever in heaven, but it could have lived forever in hell. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home tonight, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. You may put them down. Any tonight? that say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven and pray for me. I've never really saw myself a lost sinner, and I never saw myself dying, going to hell without Christ. And I want that blood. I need that blood to cleanse my soul. I see a hand way back there. Don't know if it's a little one or not, but oh, they're all important to God. You're listening to this. Many people come to our website and they listen to the Bible messages that we have on their computer. And if you're listening by way of this message on the website of the Church on the Rise, right where you're at, if you've never asked Christ to save you, you need that precious blood. It's the only thing that can redeem you. Forget about being a church member of a Catholic or a Baptist or a Lutheran church, or I don't care. You name any name you want to name. There's only one name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. Acts 4:12, and that's Jesus. You need his precious blood. That's the only purchase price for the lost soul of a man. The price of Jesus' blood. And you could bow your head right now while you're listening to this message on your computer, and right now where I'm talking, you can just say, oh God, I'm a lost sinner going to hell, and I believe you died for my sins, and Jesus, thank you for dying for me, and thank you for shedding your blood, and come into my heart now, right now, Jesus, come in my heart. Come in my heart, Jesus, and be my Savior. Save my soul from hell, and take me to heaven when I die. If you'll do that from your heart, the Bible says, with the heart, man, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And Christian, let me encourage you to lift up your heart and your life to God and serve him with all your life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Father, we pray that your perfect will would be done tonight and then throughout the coming days when this is heard over the website. May you get the honor and glory for the precious blood of Christ that was shed for all men. We pray that all men would avail themselves to that blood. For as much as they don't avail themselves to it, it's none and void for them because they didn't take that gift that God wants to give them. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May you be honored and glorified in all things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing. As Debbie plays, if you want to come and pray, you come. If you want to be saved, you come. If there's something about you want to deal with, you come right now. We're not even going to sing. We're just going to let her play.